Thanks, Rob. It's Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman.
What up, man? This is great. I'm going to have a really exciting, upbeat conversation. You know, one of the things that I love about coming WGN is being upbeat and excited about government. This is the upbeat voice, guys. I know that you've been listening to me for a while, but this is what I sound like when things are great.
Mike Fouché from the Daily Line joins us every Wednesday to talk about politics, whether it be city, regional, state, county.
And I always get to talk like this.
And he brought his optimistic voice
Woo,
with him today.
Yeah.
And a very pessimistic day in Springfield. All right, so the final day.
Talk about terrible things.
Yeah, I mean, well, let's get to it, because today was the deadline for the spring session on whether or not Springfield would be able to balance a budget for the first time in 3 years.
Right.
There was hope this time around because the Senate passed a budget and a spending plan, not
right.
necessarily balanced, but
right.
up closer to the
right.
idea. And there was talk that this could be, the House could push, Mike Madigan push this to the governor's desk, and we may be closer than we ever have been in the rounder term.
In the last 2 years.
To actually having a balanced budget. But the House today doesn't do anything.
They didn't do a thing. And, you know, really, I mean, it seems like there's really nothing going on, but in reality, there is a lot going on. In reality, Madigan has been having these meetings with his caucus, the Democrats, the House Democrats, who have a controlling vote of the House. And he has been polling them to see if he could get enough votes in order to pass a budget. And as of yesterday afternoon, and it seems like this morning, there weren't enough votes among the House Democrats in order to pass a budget.
Now, are they talking about the budget that was passed out of the Senate? Are they working on their own version of that? What budget are we talking about?
The initial conversations were about the Senate version. And then later it became, okay, what are the other things that people are going to need? But, you know, really what this is about is that there's really kind of three things that are on the table. Well, there's lots of different things that are on the table, but three big things that we're talking about here. One, which is Governor Rauner's assistance on a permanent property tax freeze. And two is a need to have some sort of money that goes to schools, both higher ed and district schools.
Yeah, right.
And then the other is having some sort of budget that keeps the state going in order to pay for all the different agencies that do the stuff.
Right.
And there's this, you know, problem, which is that Rauner says, I'm not going to do anything unless there's a permanent property tax freeze. And the other is that Democrats started rolling out yesterday a school funding bill, which was fairly large and gave a lot of money to Chicago and to other districts as well. But Rauner said, no, I'm not going to do that because there's not enough money for it. We're not going to be paying
right.
for that.
Let's work on the budget. We'll work on that afterwards or
well,
in whatever
But
order.
The problem that Democrats have, especially the ones from Chicago, is that money for schools is what the budget is. And not just, you know, the regular high schools and elementary schools, but also for the universities. And we just learned today that Northeastern Illinois University, which is a state school, is going to be cutting, you know, I think 120, 140 jobs because they just can't sustain people. There's, you know, other stuff that's been going on. I know Western Illinois University has had cuts. Northern Illinois University has had cuts. Eastern Illinois University has had cuts. You know, the big ones, UIC and SIU and
U of I,
you know, they're probably in better shape because they have endowments and all kinds of other things that they can draw on. But the smaller ones, they're in a lot of trouble. So, you know, really what we got down to today is that the Democrats in the House felt like they weren't going to be able to vote for something that Rauner was probably going to veto. And what they were most concerned about is that they were going to vote for tax increases. And they were probably going to try and come up with more tax increases. And they were concerned that they would be left out to dry, that they don't want to vote to pass something unless Governor Rauner is going to say, okay, I'm going to take some risk too and
okay,
sign this bill.
I understand that because there's some political risk in passing or not passing anything. But isn't there an advantage politically to say, hey, we balanced the budget. Here you go, Governor. And the governor is on the hook to say, I veto this because I didn't get what I wanted out of it. And the state of Illinois residents go, hey, I mean, it's interesting that the Democrats in the House didn't see beyond that idea.
You know, it's interesting is that business interests in Illinois, like the most conservative business interests that you can think of.
They want a budget.
Budget, budget, budget. We don't care. Just give us a budget. But the truth is that it's regular Joe and Jane voters that are the ones that really get the attention of state representatives. And they, their nightmare scenario is that they go back to the district and they're in the neighborhood coffee shop or whatever it is, they're in the grocery store, and somebody starts hassling them about raising their taxes. That is, I know that because, you know, people have told me that, state legislators have told me that, especially ones in the suburbs. In the city, maybe you can hide a little bit. Nobody really knows who you are, Jewel. But, you know, out in the suburbs, I think that that's a much bigger issue for a lot of Democrats. And, you know, they're very concerned that by voting for some sort of tax increase, they're going to get hammered. And Bruce Rauner has made it very clear that he's going to do that lots. You know, he's been running campaign commercials already. The Illinois GOP has been doing auto dial calls to threaten people, threaten legislators. You know, they'll have a series of auto dial calls that go into a district, targeted district, in order to kind of threaten somebody. So the idea that politics isn't constantly present is false. You know, the Bruce Rauner has made this into a constant campaign. And so when you get into these situations where you want somebody to be able to take a risk, well, what they're thinking about is, well, you know, last month, actually, somebody was kind of messing with me back in my district. So that's something that they're constantly thinking about.
So do they think that there's less risk in inaction? The idea that, hey, we didn't do anything. Sure. We didn't pass any taxes. Absolutely. We didn't do our jobs. You know, so don't bother me in the Jewel.
This you know, listen, this sounds really horrible, but and I apologize to you, listener, for saying this, but there is a maxim among people in politics, which is voters only remember the last horrible thing that happened. And that's usually tax cuts or tax increases. And voters will remember a tax increase.
You don't have to look as far as Pat Quinn.
Yeah.
I mean, Quinn, they hung that around him, the idea of an income tax increase, and he lost by a very small margin, but in a Democratic state with Democratic both the House and Senate.
Listeners, take this into heart, which is that, you know, typically people don't really think about the global picture of things when they go into the voting booth. They think about the thing that ticks them off the most.
Mike Fouché from the Daily Line breaking down today's action and inaction in Springfield.
Today's inaction in Springfield.
Well, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll continue the conversation. Stay with us. It's a download here on 720 WGN. Justin
Gottman.
Optimistic Mike Boucher.
Yeah. Woo. Yeah.
The Daily Line joins us every Wednesday. We're talking about Springfield and what happened today or didn't happen in Springfield. All right. So let's get to this idea that, you know, Eric Zorn had a great piece in the Tribune today about how it's kind of a myth, and everybody knows it, that spending is out of control for state government, meaning that, you know,
Illinois has one of the lowest per capita costs of state government. We have a smaller state government than we've had since, I think, the 1950s.
So who, when a governor gets on in front of a microphone or gets on this radio station or gets on TV with duct tape and flannel shirts and says, we got to stop wasting taxpayers' money, we need to stop the reckless spending in Springfield, what's he talking about?
It's not clear. And part of it is that he has never actually outlined exactly what it is that he means by overspending. I mean, the truth is that if not only is Illinois' state government smaller than it's ever been before, but if we actually reduced our prison population to the size it was in the 1950s, it would be unbelievably small because one of the largest state government groups are prison guards. So, you know, I don't know where you go at this point. And it has been, it's very frustrating with Rauner's rhetoric. But, you know, another part is that it's very, very, because of this constant talk of what, you know, we need to cut, we need to cut, we need to cut. You know, once upon a time, I used to be a political consultant and I'd look at a lot of polling. And the thing that you always see, certainly in the top three, oftentimes in the number one spot, is taxes. And everybody wants to talk about taxes being cut. And everybody's very interested in there being more cuts in taxes and the government should be smaller. So it's an easy place for state legislators and politicians to go. I'm going to cut government. I'm going to cut government waste. It's very, very hard because this is lodged into voters' minds, and it really is. It's very, very hard for a legislator or any politician to really be able to convince voters that, well, actually, our government is pretty small.
Right.
So maybe what we ought to be doing is figuring out how to pay things.
There's no doubt about it that the government is small. The big part of it, and what is the worst in the country, is our debt to the pension system.
Right.
Amazing amount of recklessness
right.
and terrible government when it came to bypassing or skipping over payments. And this is, I mean, it's bipartisan in a way that I know that this will be something that is always blamed on Democrats, but this whole idea of skipping payments started with Governor Edgar in the 90s.
And this is a tremendous problem, and Illinois has not taken any steps forward. And the fight that we're having here today is not about being able to pay our backlog of bills or not about being able to pay down our pension. The fight that we're having today is how do we keep schools open? How do we keep the state government open on an operating annual basis? The really big questions we haven't even addressed.
Okay. So I want to get at the Democrats, too, because this drives me crazy. And there seemed to be a time in government where, and this is politics played out, that there were deadlines. You and I have deadlines in our job. We got to do the show every night. There are things that are just not, they're not hard. They're hard and fast. You can't get loose with it. At what point did it used to be the 12th hour, or the 11th hour, and there'd be deals cut and compromises? Oh, you didn't get what you wanted, but you tried. But there was, at the time it was midnight on the day, May 31st, there was a budget in place. Somewhere along the line, the Democrats, under the direction and leadership of Mike Madigan, recognized that they didn't mean anything. Those deadlines didn't mean anything. We could do it tomorrow. We don't have to do it at all.
Well,
and I just feel like that, to me, is something that I think everybody who's listening right now is trying to gather how that's possible and how that's not against the law.
Well, truthfully, it's not against the law because it's just the rules.
Right.
But I mean, truthfully, these extended sessions are very onerous for legislators. A lot of them aren't full time. They have other jobs. They do other things. You know, they're school superintendents, they're attorneys, they're real estate agents, they're, you know, whatever you might come up with. And being stuck in Springfield means that they're not earning money at their regular job. And the amount of money that they get, you know, they get a per diem, but the per diem is, you know, I think it's like, you know, $180 or something like that, which really is not a lot of money. Once you pay for your hotel
and
everything
else. Job.
Well,
what do you want me to say?
Actually,
why are you...
That actually is the case, which is that it's become very hard for both Democrats and Republicans to recruit good, high-quality candidates.
We don't pay these people enough, so that's why they can't get the job done?
Well, you know, the job, you know, it sounds great, but, you know, I think the starting salary for a state legislator is like $48,000. And for a lot of people, you know, $48,000, if you're 40-something years old, you could probably earn money doing something else.
All right, don't make me turn into John McLaughlin here. Wrong!
Right.
Don't care!
But I think the larger thing, though, is that Democrats really did chicken out in being able to raise taxes. Mike Madigan allowed a income tax increase that had been passed under Governor Quinn to expire. And that's when he had an opportunity. He could have extended it before the election in 2014.
But he did that for political reasons, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so we wouldn't be in the mess that we're in today if Mike Madigan hadn't passed that again.
Okay, so here comes... There's not going to be a budget. Not until the 2018 gubernatorial election. Just crazy to think about.
After, well, maybe. I mean, we'll see.
Okay, well, let's... I mean, it'll be... The primary will be before the spring session or during the spring session.
Well, there'll be a veto session. They could potentially do something during the veto session. But yes, in November and December.
What does Governor Rauner...
And Madigan has said that they're going to stay in continuous session through June.
Oh,
so
well,
there might be something passed. But the problem, though, is that in order to pass something, both the House and the Senate have to have a 3/5 vote. So it's harder to pass with a 3/5 vote than it is a simple majority. You have to get more votes.
Right.
So, you know, there is still a possibility of something happening.
What does Governor Rauner run on as accomplishments in his first term as governor?
Well, I'm wondering how many people that are listening to this are from, you know, downstate Illinois. I mean, I know that Governor Rauner is extraordinarily popular south of I-80. And largely because a lot of people in the southern part of the state feel like state government has been doing too much for the city of Chicago for too long. And Rauner spends a lot of time talking about how the city of Chicago has been bailed out by the state and bailed out by the state.
Okay.
And it's not taking responsibility for its own actions. I think there's a lot of people that feel like Rauner is finally a truth teller.
Okay, so then what do the Democrats and Mike Madigan, what are they, Pritzker, Kennedy, this, what do they run on?
Irresponsibility, you know, no state government in the country has gone this long without a budget, and we have charities and all kinds of other things closing, you know, stuff that you and I have talked about. I think that it's going to become really interesting because those arguments, we're going to hear about them over the summer of 2018 with whoever the two candidates are, and then probably by the time we get to you know, the fall, it's mostly going to be a personality contest, particularly if what a lot of Democrats are hoping is that Pritzker will become the nominee. A lot of establishment Democrats are hoping that. I should correct myself. And if Pritzker, one billionaire versus Rauner, another billionaire, are bashing each other, you know, my God. We're going to go right past everything that's important and get to the personality stuff.
Mike Fouché from the Daily Line joins us every Wednesday. This Wednesday, very optimistic.
I am. This is great. Illinois is a wonderful place.
Good to see you.